when we start talking about our commitments through our baptism. There is always some flexibility that has to be there in that understanding of that commitment. I have today a little clip to show you from one of my favorite theological movies, Finding Nemo. And in the tag to that movie, there is a little scene where after Nemo has escaped and is back with his father, the rest of the fish in that aquarium have been placed in those little plastic bags that when you bring them home from the pet shop, they're in. And the evil dentist has placed them into that plastic bags individually while he prepares to clean the tank. And those fish in those plastic bags make a commitment to what they're going to do about their fate, not expecting what that might mean as they go on. Let's watch the little clip.
Barbara, I don't understand it. Here, this thing has a lifetime guarantee and it breaks. I had to clean the tank myself, take all the fish out, put them in bags and... Where'd the fish go?
You can do it.
That's the shortest red line I've ever seen.
Come on, Peach. Now what?
Now what? We got here and we're stuck inside these bags. Perhaps they need Bob Newhart, the psychologist. I have this fear of being buried alive in a bag. We make these commitments, and like those little fish, we suddenly get into them and we find out they weren't exactly what we thought they were going to be. Any of you who are married, we all got before the altar and we committed that for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, and all those good things we said. But I don't think any of us really understood what that meant until we actually got into that commitment and start living it out. And we find one of those or for better or for worse, and we say, oh, so that's what it means. Or for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. And we experience that. And we have to be flexible with our understanding of what that commitment means. It is the same for any commitment that we make. It is the same for the commitment that we make or was made for us in our baptism. That somewhere along the line, we too have bought into. It is the same with the very practical commitment that we made as a parish family with the call of God for our expansion and our Make Room for the In Capital campaign. We all committed sacrificially to it, and now we're finally, this week, at a stage of understanding what that commitment's going to mean for our life together. Those of you who are with us, a very practical example, when we redid this sanctuary, we, for a whole Lent, were worshiping in our parish hall. It seemed incredibly inconvenient at the time. But does it not seem like that must have been eons ago when we went through all of that? It was less than 2 years. And so it gives us courage for the flexibility that we are called to live out in our commitment. What I'd like to offer today is a twofold approach. The one thing is having to do with an understanding of where those milestones of commitment have been in our past. For a lot of us, we were baptized as infants. We weren't even conscious of what happened at that baptism. But there are times along in our spiritual lives when we consciously make that commitment to our life of faith. And it becomes important for us to be in touch with those times of commitment. Sometimes they can be for us incredible successes and relationships that have brought us to a new level, and we can say at that point that I got to a point of understanding God's love for me in a very special way. Sometimes they can be in terms of incredible failures that we have had. Yet God uses that to help us to understand that we are still a beloved child of God, and we are picked up and dusted off and encouraged to continue our journey again. And we get in touch with those things, and we see the way that God has been active in our past life, that it gives us courage for the flexibility that we need, because we never know what is coming up down the road again. And we are able to recommit ourselves. Which brings us to the second point. It's never a one-time deal. A lot of people would like to say, have you been baptized? Perhaps it is more correct to say, are you baptized? Because it is not a once-in-time historical moment that happens. It is something that we live out for the rest of our lives. And so that recommitment on a regular basis becomes important for us. C.S. Lewis, one of the great Christian writers of our generation, have said some very important things here. If Christianity is untrue, then it's unimportant. If the Bible is a lie, if this is all a myth, if it didn't really happen, if Jesus really isn't God and he didn't rise from the dead and all that kind of stuff, we are doing nothing here. Let's all go home. Lewis said, the only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. It's either all or nothing. It either demands and deserves everything I've got, or let's all go home. It's like saying I'm semi-pregnant. I'm half dead. We're either alive or dead. You're either pregnant or you're not. Jesus Christ is either Lord of our lives or he is not. So that recommitment becomes so crucial for us in our lives. Just like a husband and a wife or a friendship or whatever it is, especially in terms of our life of faith, we need that constant recommitment. And I would like to offer just something very practical to us today. How many of us get up in the morning and it is the alarm clock that wakes us up? What a way to wake up. We are already alarmed when we got up. And the next thing we do is we turn on what someone has aptly described as Bad News America. And we turn it on and we find out how many people got murdered last night and how many politicians have had to resign because of some charges they're up for. And then we go down and we pick up the newspaper and we read the same thing in a more magnified fashion. And then we get in our cars and we get to school or work or wherever we're going and we can't understand why we're so depressed and unhappy. Perhaps the approach we need to take more is before our feet hit the ground in the morning, is to do a little recommitment. Maybe it's just a one-line phrase. I am your beloved. I thank you, God, that you are well pleased with me. This is what happens with Jesus today. This baptism in Mark is the symbol of Jesus' willingness to do what God is calling him to do. And immediately when he makes that commitment, the heavens are torn apart. And he hears the very voice of his Father saying that, not to the apostles, not to the crowd, but directly to him. You are my beloved. And it is the same that he wishes to tell each one of us, each and every day, as we recommit ourselves to that spiritual journey that God has gifted us with. This is an amazing gospel, you know, because last week, Jesus was 2 years old, and there are three kings adoring him. We skip 7 days, and now he's 30 years old. 28 years have passed in a week. And we know very little about it, other than that story of Jesus in the temple. Mary and Joseph thinks he's lost, and he says, I must be about my Father's business. There was something then going on throughout those 28 years that Jesus was recommitting himself as best he could at that age that were bringing him to that point of this milestone moment at the age of 30 when he officially begins his public ministry. And so we can recommit ourselves in that easy way. And if you have a hard time doing it in the morning, I suggest that before your head hits the pillow at night, let that recommitment be the last thing that is uttered in your heart or on your lips at that point. God, I thank you for this day. Somehow you got me through it. And I thank you that through it all, I am still your beloved child. And then what happens is, mysteriously, we develop these habits and it just happens. It's like a song that gets in your head at night. Does it ever happen to you and you just can't get it out of your head? Last night for me it was, "Oh, sheep, sheep, don't you know the road?" And I couldn't get that out of my head. And I go to bed singing it. I get up in the morning and I go to take a shower and guess what song I'm still singing? "Sheep, sheep, don't you know the road?" It is like that when we develop these kinds of recommitment little practices that remind us of who we are and who we are called to be. Beloved daughters and sons of a God who has incredible love for us. This gospel continues. And you know what happens next? Immediately after Jesus gets that reconfirmation from his Father that he's beloved, Mark says Jesus went out into the desert to be tempted by the devil. We are never finished. Just like for Jesus, those recommitment times continue in his life of prayer throughout his journey until the point when those heavens are going to open again when he gives his life for us in the ultimate commitment. So too, each and every day we are called to recommit ourselves to that which we are called to be. Beloved sons and daughters of God, may we realize that daily. Amen. We continue with our prayers.